And for the Afrikaans, Bertens. And Joris Bertens in studio with us, and part of the layout in Hoedspruit, been here for many years, and a wonderful and successful businessman here, and part of the local is lekker. Welcome in studio, Joris. Nice to have you here.
Baie dankie. Thank you.
Baie dankie. Ek vra of nou vir my kan ek 'n bietjie Afrikaans praat. Ek sê ek vir my ja beslis. En Afrikaans is maar 'n wonderlike taal. Nie net om te gesels nie, maar ook om so 'n bietjie vuil te praat, né?
Definitief. Ek geniet het om 'n bietjie Afrikaans te praat. Ek kan as 'n Hollander. So,
as 'n Hollander kan jy beslis. Well, welcome, Joris, and it's lovely to have you in studio. And basically, when I do interviews, it's also all about getting to know the background of the person that we're chatting to. So we have to obviously just have a little bit of history before we dive into where we are now. But let us know, where were you born and a little bit about your growing up years, schooling years, and sort of up to there. Then I'll lead us further on.
Yeah, with pleasure. I grew up in the Netherlands, in a province called Brabant, in the southern part of the Netherlands, close to the Belgian border. Little town called Hilvarenbeek, and on the Cosmonautenplein, little cul-de-sac.
And, sounds beautiful.
Yeah, very close to farms. So I really relate well to the farming community. I mean, we don't have such a harsh conditions in the Netherlands. I mean, we've got lots of rain. It's always green, far too much rain. That's one of the reasons I moved to South Africa for. But I went to school there, and then I went to study at the University of Hotel Management in Maastricht, in the southern part of the Netherlands, in a province called Limburg.
And was that something that you were always pulled towards?
Yeah.
Going into the hospitality industry. I mean, from a trick to go and study that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, in order for me to earn a bit of pocket money, I was not only washing my dad's car, but also went to work in a pub and worked at events and fell in love with the hospitality at an early age. And that was for me, there was only one direction to go, was to go and study hotel management. And so I ended up in Maastricht, the Netherlands.
And but you know, in this industry, Joris, they say that hospitality chooses you. You don't choose hospitality.
True.
So I think it's got to be in your blood to want to purposefully put yourself in this industry.
I can fully agree. It's all what I know. It's all what I've done. All the experience that I have. And you know, it's a beautiful industry to work in, to deal with people. You deal with tourists, with guests, and you deal with a lot of staff. It's got its pros and its cons. Tons. But if you're a people's person, then hospitality is a beautiful
definitely.
Industry. Yeah.
So after you studied, Joris, where did you move from there? Do they place like an internship for you afterwards?
That's right. Part of the four-year university study is that you have to go. You don't have to go abroad, but I wanted to get some foreign experience. So I actually went to Paris before my study, because I had a little gap half a year. And I fell in love with Paris, most romantic capital in the world. Certainly true. I walked, you know, the city backwards and forwards, and fell in love. So I opted to go back for a second study. So I was working as a night auditor, basically a night receptionist. But I drove my first Ferrari, you know, when the guest would arrive late in the evening, and we were fighting to decide which of the receptionists could park the car in the base parking. But that was my first experience. And then my second experience was South Africa. You know, I had friends that showed me pictures. They went on holiday. And I ended up in Pelabora in 94.
So that's a good few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, if you work it out, 21 years.
I've been in South Africa almost 50 years, and I started my traineeship at a lodge. I'm sure a lot of people will know it, Sefapani Lodge, close to the Pelabora Gate in Pelabora. And I worked in housekeeping, I worked in reception, worked in the bar. I worked quite hard. It was a Dutch couple at the time, and they provided me with this work opportunity. And I basically fell in love with South Africa and with nature, with the Kruger National Park. And it was an interesting time at the time, because it was obviously, you know, when the new South Africa almost want to say, was launched.
Yes.
I mean, so, and I wanted to be part of the new South Africa. Yeah. Found interesting times politically and maybe full of opportunities. But at that time, I didn't know yet I was going to settle and stay in South Africa. So I finished my traineeship, went back to the Netherlands, finished my studies, and was asked to come back to manage the lodge.
Oh, wonderful. And that's an accolade for you. Obviously, that they could see what you were made of at the end of the day and what you were capable of. So to come back to South Africa was not a difficult choice for you to make.
No, certainly not. I always liked the old slogan of South African tourism, one world in one country. And by then, I went to Cape Town. I saw KwaZulu-Natal. I went to the Eastern Cape, to the Transkei area. And this country was or still is so diverse,
yes.
That I saw so many opportunities. And at that time, the owners of Sifapani, basically, after a year and a bit, they said, listen, you seem to run this business much better than we do. We actually want to early retire. Are you maybe keen to take over the lodge? And with my partner at the time, we bought the business.
That's fantastic, hey? To have that opportunity at your feet like that makes life a lot more easier. But a lot of challenges come with that.
Yeah.
And how many rooms was it when you started?
When we started, we had 14 traditional rondavels, and we actually doubled capacity. So as we speak, we've got 51 rondavels, one house. It was self-catering in the beginning, and then we developed a restaurant. We developed basically a safari business within the business. So we were actually the first ones to launch night drives from Palabora Gates. And then we introduced the bushwalks, and myself being, I wasn't at the time, but a couple of years later, I qualified as a freelance guide. So, it was quite interesting for our guests that the owner sometimes could take you out on safari activities.
Yes.
So
it's
yeah,
a real draw card for that time.
For that time,
yes,
it was. I mean,
yes.
I really learned. I mean, it was my first business. Yeah. I bought. I came straight off school. Did I regret it? Maybe, I could have learned the ropes from other people, but yeah, zoals die Hollanders say, met vallen en opstaan word jij groot.
Dus recht.
So die bezigheid groot geworden.
But, and I know though that speaking of Palabora, just very off the cuff, it is a mining community,
yeah.
And that's what built Palabora, but it unfortunately has gone through its own struggles and its changes.
Yeah. I think it's on the up. I mean, I'm slightly positive, but we used to have three mines, PMC, Fosgor, and Bosveld Phosphate. PMC is the dominant one. It's got a 75% shareholding by the Chinese. They're quite dominant. They run that business quite well. But like I always say, mining has got a lifespan. If you've mined all the minerals, you're done. You need to rehabilitate. And we all know what's happening in this country. That is not always the case. And tourism is forever. If you look after Mother Nature, if we look after the Kruger National Park and all our game reserves, then, there is plenty of opportunity for business development and job creation. And I've often put up that fight with the municipality and the mine and in a positive manner. But if you look at GDP, we're probably not coming close to 1 or 2% of what the mine contributes. We're always the underdog, but they listen to us, and I think there seems to be a better understanding. I think we've got a pretty good premier in the province, Poppy Ramatuba, that is really focused on tourism, and I think she's going to teach our municipality Palabora a bit of a lesson in order to focus on our tourism future.
Oh, that is positive news, and that's what you want to hear at the end of the day. But Joris, you were now in Palabora. You've been running the lodge. You've changed the look and feel of the lodge. You've extended it. And what brought you to Hoedspruit?
Yeah, I mean, I was not one of the regular visitors of Fort Capiba, but in my younger years,
yeah.
I ended up sometimes for a bit of entertainment. But
yes.
I think it was about 10 years ago, I had a partner from the Netherlands, Arnold, we spent quite a bit of time in, and we never could figure it out. I mean, Hoedspruit is a T-junction. You got the R40 and the R5 to 7, and you got sleepers that have been there for many, many years, and La Bamba and Fort Capiba at the time. But yeah, we saw some potential. I think in business, you sometimes have to go with your gut feel. Yeah. and we saw the town developing. And yeah, we bought property in Hoedspa Wildlife Estate, and we developed Unambeza Boutique Lodge and Spa, which we're currently running quite successful.
Very successful. And I mean, there's different units, though. They, Unambeza itself, how many rooms is that? Where the lodge and the spa is the itself. How many does that sleep?
Yeah, I mean, you know the dynamics of Hoedspa Wildlife Estate. I mean, it's made up of IRFs, and some of the residents, they now believe that we are in Wachabiki.
Yeah.
And it's not longer Wachabiki, it's Unambeza Wachabiki. No, but we look after our neighbors and after our property very well. Yeah. And we've got a bit of staff, and yes, there's some movement of vehicles in and out, but we run a very responsible business.
Definitely.
It's well managed, good hospitality, we're 4-star, and we've got just under 20 units.
And we're
fully serviced, you know, we don't allow self-catering. Yeah. And we control our guests very well. And we're in a beautiful spot. We're now bordering the green belts.
Yes.
Lots of animals roaming around. And currently, you know, after these good rains, the bush is looking fantastic and the lodge is looking great. And it's nice to be there.
It absolutely is, Joris. And all the babies are out as well, which is so great for anyone that's coming to visit. And to see all the little ones running around.
I mean,
to think a couple of months ago how dreadful the bush looked.
Mm.
And you could see everybody. You could literally see your neighbor
True.
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't want to say what else I could see.
No, true.
But it's so nice to not be able to see anybody.
No,
and
it's a gem.
It's a and you just see the transformation, which is just unbelievable.
True.
In
we know
the bush.
There might be a dry season coming again, and that's the cycle of
life.
Of life and a cycle of our seasons. I mean, that's the difference if I compare it with the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, I did enjoy, we have basically 4 seasons. There's a good spring and a good autumn. And here it's either hot or very hot or mild hot.
Mild hot.
But, you know, can't really say we got a winter, but it's great quality of life.
It is. For us locals here, it is a bit of a winter.
Yeah, true.
You know, I also every now and then, to Con's dismay, haul out the electric blanket, and he just says, you put it on your side. You don't come near me with that with that hot blanket. But you've also gone through another transformation in terms of adding on more rooms onto your business and your portfolio, Joris. And you've taken that next big step and built an absolutely beautiful boutique hotel at the Farmery. And just pronounce the name for me, Kiwani.
Kiwani, yeah.
Kiwani, well. That's right.
Meaning
Kiwani.
In Tsonga, it means fig tree. And
fig tree.
There's actually, at the neighboring property, there's a fig tree, but we decided to develop this property first, so we had to plant another fig tree. So now there's a fig tree in front of Kiwani. It was a very awkward property to build, you know, in between the farmhouse and campfire and hog fodder at the time, which is now taken over by the harvest house. And they are partners in this concept. So you sleep with us on a 4-star level, beautiful rooms. I invite everybody, all the Hoedspruiters, to come and have a look. You can just walk in. You don't need to make an appointment. There's friendly staff to walk and guide you around. And you can go for delicious breakfast or lunch or dinner with Harvest House. And we also encourage, you know, our visitors to go to all the other restaurants.
Yes.
And I mean, that's what we're looking at. We believe Hoedspruit is hip, hot and happening.
Yeah.
And Zandspruit Boulevard, I don't think anybody would have thought about a boulevard
in
Zandspruit. I mean,
in
those days, if you would have listened to Martin Dendene, you know, trying to sell you any of these developments, people would have thought, no, it's not going to happen. And he made it happen. I mean,
Definitely.
there's a big development up there and it's working. We're looking forward to the next phase.
But I just want to just take a little step back with regards to that hotel. We came to have a look at it, and Joris, I think you're downplaying it a little bit, but the building itself, the concept, the design of that building, I absolutely love it. It's got this sort of old 80s, like a sort of a what's it called, like that type of building.
I can't get to the word either, but there's a special design to it. I mean,
it is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the fact that it blends in still so beautifully with nature. And I absolutely encourage anyone to go and have a look. And if you want to recommend to your family and friends, with 10 out of 10, I would recommend. And just the finishes, the rooms are beautiful. And then your beautiful pool area.
True.
And when you say the connection with Harvest House, it's literally a sliding door, a wooden door that you can walk from your hotel straight into the Harvest House and go and have your breakfast, your lunch, or your dinner, or go anywhere else for that matter for the evening. So that concept worked beautifully.
I think, you know, we are looking at a second phase, but obviously we first need to fill
up the
hotel, pay the bills, pay the bank. but we've got opportunity to potentially build another 20 rooms and maybe some apartments, which we are looking at. We really want to boost the local, call it tourism economy hub, of the Zanspa Boulevard, where people go and shop and buy curios, go for massage, for a haircut, whatever you want to do. I mean, and then you have the option of the variety of restaurants, which will be great. Yeah.
And in terms of apartments, would it be for rent on a rental basis?
Most
or
likely.
To purchase?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all realize there's a shortage of accommodation, and that's the downside. I mean, to a certain extent, our opinion is, you know, that the developments are outgrowing the infrastructure, and I know there's lots of debate of it, and it's a fair debate. I mean, Martin with Campfire and Zandspruit Estates, he put in his own sewer system. You know, we've got a water system in place. We are full on with solar, so that's what you have to look at. I mean, we all know that we come from days of load shedding, but there's only so much sun in a day. There's only so much water. But we're looking into maybe apartments for permanent residents, maybe even for sale. But we're not sure yet. We need to fill up the hotel first.
Yes, yeah. Of course. And in terms of tourism, Yaris, I know, we as much as I can say, we the tourists love coming here. But they do get hidden away in the lodges, which is the reality at the end of the day. So I mean, recently when I flew from Cape Town, and I saw the plane, the two aircrafts, they were full of tourists. There was, you can spot the local because you know them. Oh, hi, come from Cape Town, and so many tourists, and all the buses were waiting outside, all the drivers, everyone. And the sad thing is that they get taken to the lodges, and the lodges, like they should, they cater for them.
They control their spending.
And I think with being out here in the heart of Hoedspruit, I firmly believe we will feel the money of the tourists, because to come and stay somewhere in town and still have the opportunity to go into Kruger, to go on drives, but to actually go and venture out into local restaurants and spend locally. I think that is something that I think is fabulous from your side.
And we believe that we as the Zandspruit Boulevard, with all the investors and all the tenants, we can grow that further. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit, and I know a lot of different cultures, and different cultures have different needs. But going back to my roots, the Dutch, the Hollanders, willen houden van een koffietje drinken op het terrasje. They want to go and sit somewhere and watch people and skinner and gossip and talk whatever they're going to do. And we can see that at the moment we've got a very successful farmers market. That might happen in the future every Saturday. I hope that the food component will grow a bit further. I was spoiled when I was young. My parents used to take me to France. You had beautiful wine
markets,
and cheese markets, artisan cheeses and breads. And that's starting to come as well. So I'm convinced that's the way that Hoedspruit's going. And it's positioning itself very strong. And I think with all the residents and all the businesses and Farmwatch, and the municipality, I think we've got a very good mayor. If we can drive this future of our conservation and tourism economy all together, and we look after what we have and we develop it responsible, we have a beautiful future ahead of us.
And you speak so passionately about tourism. What going forward, I know that with Tom Foster and with HFM, we're trying to harvest sure. a tourism board so yeah. that we can have a little bit more say and yeah. control.
And I'm fully supporting. I've offered my call it my knowledge, my experience to the team, and specifically on responsible and sustainable tourism development. I mean, we're an hour away from Open Gate. I had to stand in a queue on the 2nd of January, probably my own mistake, you know, to choose the day, but it was about an hour and a half queue, and I ended up in Magnoletti, and I was the only one driving there with my partner. While in Pelabora, you were literally 1 minute away.
Yes.
And we are about a half an hour away from the Blijde Dam. Maybe on a bit of a critical note, I mean, currently we can't visit it because there's a film crew. You know, a lot of people say it's great for the economy. I differ a bit. I think, you know, we cannot have any foreign film company blocking access for our operators and tourists to go and explore that beautiful part of the world. And, you know, we are in touch and talking to Mpumalanga Parks Board and developers like Opa Pilani from the Graskop Lift to look at the development of those mountains, you know. And
huge opportunity.
Definitely. I don't say we need a Table Mountain lift and ugly cars going up and down there in the mountain, but there's opportunity for adventure tourism, maybe for a zip line, whatsoever. I think if we can get that right, tourists will stay in
longer,
town,
yes.
in the reserves, everywhere, and everybody in tourism and related to tourism economy will benefit. And I think I really want to make myself available time-wise and indeed with my passion to make those things happening in the years to come.
100%, Joris, and I think that if those activities are available, everybody, and currently so, you go to any lodge here inside Hoedspruit, I'm talking just in and around here.
Sure.
The activities are fabulous, but
yeah.
there is such an opportunity for more.
True.
And there's one thing I do see that's shared, because sometimes I find that we all want to hold on to that bit of sunshine, but everyone recommends their guests to go and partake.
Mm.
It's not held away. You say, go to the Blijde, go on a boat trip, do the hot air ballooning,
yeah.
go for a horse ride.
Yeah.
Because the more activities there are, the more we can support local.
Definitely. And so, the more employment we can create,
yes.
and the better the economy, the more taxes, and hopefully those taxes will come back to the
roads
and the potholes and
right
the water
places.
Infrastructure. Yeah, yeah. definitely.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing as well, when we talk about the infrastructure and how important it is to give back, like Zandspruit has, where they've put in their own water systems, where they've made use of solar, and if we can do that, if the municipality can get that right here, then there is room for further development.
Yeah, certainly. I think, according to me, there's two high priorities: is looking at the infrastructure, make sure it can handle what we currently have and provide for future development. And then the traffic congestion. I think you can already look at the Hoedspruit as, you know, if they have to wait for 3 minutes for the bridge to close or the bridge to open, if they have to stand in a traffic jam, they get irritated.
Very.
And that, I mean, the more traffic, obviously, the T-Jinx is not going to handle it. And I was part of the SunRail presentations. I'm not an expert on traffic. I think the traffic circles in Hazyview and Bushbuck Ridge, they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have to deal with the trucks, you know.
Yeah.
On a political level, our premier, our mayor, they need to talk to PMC and say, listen, get those trucks off the road or minimize the numbers. Get your railway up to scratch with SunRail. SunRail. What is it? Prasa. Get the right size of locomotives so they can pull
fit.
Over those.
They can fit on the tracks.
and sort that out, because because the magnetite is an environmental polluter. I mean, I can see that in Pelabora. You see it on the roads. They're sometimes overloaded. They tip on the side of the roads. That should not be happening
anywhere near
touching
base with the ground.
Not in Pelabora, not in Hoedspruit. So if we can prioritize it and sort that out, you know, we can double the tourism.
Absolutely.
And conservation economy of, yeah, of this town. I mean, let's not forget that there's a lot of NGOs here that focus on nature, on conservations. I mean, they're doing fantastically well.
Phenomenal.
There's an airport here with great pilots, yeah, flying for conservation and all sort of things. That those people, they are very and very important.
And they're influential. And that's the, yeah, thing, though, is all about sticking together,
yeah,
and growing this town together and focusing. You know, it should be a conservation capital of the world. And that's how we should be seen for tourists.
Yeah, and if we can transform the industry a bit as well, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, we all know the history of this country, but we need to make it more inclusive. I've heard, maybe you could confirm it, that the old gym in town, I saw a sign, Hotel School.
Yes, that's right.
And somebody
and
told me
perfect.
It's a TVET college coming in there, apparently.
That
I still
will
need to be
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, the more I'm meeting with Candace Pierce tomorrow of the Timbavati Foundation. She's got young ladies that she wants to place in for internships. We all need to do our own part to make sure that we invest in the tourism and invest in transformation and make sure we're an all-inclusive, all-inclusive economy.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Joris. You know, that it's always wonderful to get to know the person behind the business, and it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And I know that you are going to just be growing from strength to strength, and your commitment is visible. You know, it's not just a knock and drop type of business, and you're part of the business, you're part of the environment, you're part of the of Hoedspruit, and that's what makes it even more special, is to support local, to grow with local. And yeah, good luck. I just know this Kiwani is going to be full, so that let them be full, yeah, so that we can get the other apartments and the other hotels in here, and let's just keep growing from strength to strength. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank
Joris.
You, Luelle. Really, it was a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. And it is now 12 o'clock on the.